Chapter 144. Nicholas laughingly said, as he closed his book, that he was glad to hear it, and observed that his mother seemed deep in their new friend's confidence already. Said Mrs. Nickleby. I don't know about that, my dear, but I think it is very necessary that somebody should be in his confidence. Highly necessary. Elated by a look of curiosity from her son, and the consciousness of possessing a great secret all to herself, Mrs. Nickleby went on with great animation. I am sure, my dear Nicholas, how you can have failed to notice it is, to me, quite extraordinary, though I don't know why I should say that either, because, of course, as far as it goes, and to a certain extent, there is a great deal in this sort of thing, especially in this early stage, which, however clear it may be to females, can scarcely be expected to be so evident to men. I don't say that I have any particular penetration in such matters. I may have. Those about me should know best about that, and perhaps do know. Upon that point I shall express no opinion. It wouldn't become me to do so. It's quite out of the question. Quite. Nicholas snuffed the candles, put his hands in his pockets, and, leaning back in his chair, assumed a look of patient suffering and melancholy resignation. I think it my duty, Nicholas, my dear, resumed his mother, to tell you what I know. Not only because you have a right to know it too, and to know everything that happens in this family, but because you have it in your power to promote and assist the thing very much. And there is no doubt that the sooner one can come to a clear understanding on such subjects, it is always better, every way. There are a great many things you might do, such as taking a walk in the garden sometimes, or sitting upstairs in your own room for a little while, or making believe to fall asleep occasionally, or pretending that you recollected some business, and going out for an hour or so, and taking Mr. Smike with you. These seem very slight things, and I dare say you will be amused at my making them of so much importance. At the same time, my dear, I can assure you and you'll find this out, Nicholas, for yourself one of these days, if you ever fall in love with anybody, as I trust and hope you will, provided she is respectable and well-conducted, and of course you'd never dream of falling in love with anybody who was not. I say, I can assure you, that a great deal more depends upon these little things than you would suppose possible. If your poor papa was alive, he would tell you how much depended on the parties being left alone. Of course, you are not to go out of the room, as if you meant it, and did it on purpose, but as if it was quite an accident, and to come back again in the same way. If you cough in the passage before you open the door, or whistle carelessly, or hum a tune, or something of that sort, to let them know you're coming, it's always better. Because, of course, though it's not only natural, but perfectly correct and proper under the circumstances, still it is very confusing if you interrupt young people when they are sitting on the sofa, and all that sort of thing. Which is very nonsensical, perhaps, but still they will do it. The profound astonishment with which her son regarded her during this long address, gradually increasing as it approached its climax, in no way discomposed Mrs. Nickleby, but rather exalted her opinion of her own cleverness. Therefore, merely stopping to remark, with much complacency, that she had fully expected him to be surprised, she entered on a vast quantity of circumstantial evidence of a particularly incoherent and perplexing kind, the upshot of which was to establish, beyond the possibility of doubt, that Mr. Frank Cheeryble had fallen desperately in love with Kate. With whom? Cried Nicholas. Mrs. Nickleby repeated, with Kate. What? Our Kate? My sister? Lord, Nicholas. Returned Mrs. Nickleby, whose Kate should it be, if not ours? Or what should I care about it, or take any interest in it for, if it was anybody but your sister? Dear mother, said Nicholas, Surely it can't be. Apostrophe, very good, my dear, apostrophe, replied Mrs. Nickleby, with great confidence. Wait and see. Apostrophe, Nicholas had never, until that moment, bestowed a thought upon the remote possibility of such an occurrence as that which was now communicated to him. For, besides that he had been much from home of late, and closely occupied with other matters, his own jealous fears had prompted the suspicion that some secret interest in Madeline, akin to that which he felt himself, occasioned those visits of Frank Cheeryble which had recently become so frequent. Even now, although he knew that the observation of an anxious mother was much more likely to be correct in such a case than his own, and although she reminded him of many little circumstances which, taken together, were certainly susceptible of the construction she triumphantly put upon them, he was not quite convinced, but that they arose from mere good-natured thoughtless gallantry, which would have dictated the same conduct towards any other girl who was young and pleasing. At all events, he hoped so, and therefore tried to believe it. I am very much disturbed by what you tell me, apostrophe said Nicholas, after a little reflection, though I yet hope you may be mistaken. Apostrophe, I don't understand why you should hope so, apostrophe said Mrs. Nickleby, I confess, but you may depend upon it I am not. Apostrophe, what of Kate? Apostrophe, inquired Nicholas. Why that, my dear, apostrophe returned Mrs. Nickleby, is just the point upon which I am not yet satisfied. During this sickness, she has been constantly at Madeline's bedside. Never were two people so fond of each other as they have grown, and to tell you the truth, Nicholas, I have rather kept her away now and then, because I think it's a good plan, and urges a young man on. He doesn't get too sure, you know. Apostrophe, she said this with such a mingling of high delight and self-congratulation, that it was inexpressibly painful to Nicholas to dash her hopes, but he felt that there was only one honorable course before him, and that he was bound to take it. Dear mother, apostrophe, he said kindly, don't you see that, if there were really any serious inclination on the part of Mr. Frank towards Kate, and we suffered ourselves for a moment to encourage it, we should be acting a most dishonorable and ungrateful part? I ask you, if you don't see it, but I need not say that I know you don't, or you would have been more strictly on your guard. Let me explain my meaning to you. Remember how poor we are. Apostrophe, Mrs. Nickleby shook her head, and said, through her tears, that poverty was not a crime. No, apostrophe said Nicholas, and for that reason poverty should engender an honest pride, that it may not lead and tempt us to unworthy actions, and that we may preserve the self-respect which a hewer of wood and drawer of water may maintain, and does better in maintaining than a monarch in preserving his. Think what we owe to these two brothers. Remember what they have done, and what they do every day for us with a generosity and delicacy for which the devotion of our whole lives would be a most imperfect and inadequate return. What kind of return would that be which would be comprised in our permitting their nephew, their only relative, whom they regard as a son, and for whom it would be mere childishness, to suppose they have not formed plans suitably adapted to the education he has had, and the fortune he will inherit in our permitting him to marry a portionless girl, so closely connected with us, that the irresistible inference must be that he was entrapped by a plot, that it was a deliberate scheme, and a speculation amongst us three? Bring the matter clearly before yourself, mother. Now, how would you feel, if they were married, and the brothers, coming here on one of those kind errands which bring them here so often, you had to break out to them the truth? Would you be at ease, and feel that you had played an open part? Apostrophe, poor Mrs. Nickleby, crying more and more, murmured that of course Mr. Frank would ask the consent of his uncles first. Why? To be sure, that would place him in a better situation with them, apostrophe said Nicholas, but we should still be open to the same suspicions. The distance between us would still be as great. The advantages to be gained would still be as manifest as now. We may be reckoning without our host in all this, apostrophe he added more cheerfully, and I trust, and almost believe we are. If it be otherwise, I have that confidence in Kate, that I know she will feel as I do and in you, dear mother, to be assured, that after a little consideration you will do the same. Apostrophe, after many more representations and entreaties, Nicholas obtained a promise from Mrs. Nickleby that she would try all she could to think as he did, and that if Mr. Frank persevered in his attentions she would endeavor to discourage them, or, at the least, would render him no countenance or assistance. He determined to forbear mentioning the subject to Kate until he was quite convinced that there existed a real necessity for his doing so, and resolved to assure himself, as well as he could by close personal observation, of the exact position of affairs. This was a very wise resolution, but he was prevented from putting it in practice by a new source of anxiety and uneasiness. Smike became alarmingly ill, so reduced and exhausted, that he could scarcely move from room to room without assistance, and so worn and emaciated, that it was painful to look upon him. Nicholas was warned, by the same medical authority to whom he had at first appealed, that the last chance and hope of his life depended on his being instantly removed from London. That part of Devonshire in which Nicholas had been himself bred was named as the most favorable spot, but this advice was cautiously coupled with the information that whoever accompanied him thither must be prepared for the worst, for every token of rapid consumption had appeared, and he might never return alive. The kind brothers, who were acquainted with the poor creature's sad history, dispatched old Tim to be present at this consultation. That same morning, Nicholas was summoned by Brother Charles into his private room, and thus addressed. My dear sir, no time must be lost. This lad shall not die, if such human means as we can use, can save his life. Neither shall he die alone, and in a strange place. Remove him tomorrow morning, see that he has every comfort that his situation requires, and don't leave him. Don't leave him, my dear sir, until you know that there is no longer any immediate danger. It would be hard, indeed, to part you now. No, no, no. Tim shall wait upon you tonight, sir. Tim shall wait upon you tonight with a parting word or two. Brother Ned, my dear fellow, Mr. Nickleby waits to shake hands and say goodbye. Mr. Nickleby won't be long gone. This poor chap will soon get better, very soon get better, and then he'll find out some nice homely country people to leave him with, and we'll go backwards and forwards, sometimes backwards and forwards, you know, Ned. And there's no cause to be downhearted, for he'll very soon get better, very soon. Won't he, Ned? Apostrophe, what Tim Linkinwater said, or what he brought with him that night, needs not to be told. Next morning Nicholas and his feeble companion began their journey. And who but one, and that one he who, but for those who crowded round him then, had never met a look of kindness, or known a word of pity, could tell what agony of mind, what blighted thoughts, what unavailing sorrow, were involved in that sad parting. See, apostrophe, cried Nicholas eagerly, as he looked from the coach window, they are at the corner of the lane still. And now there's Kate, poor Kate, whom you said you couldn't bear to say goodbye to, waving her handkerchief. Don't go without one gesture of farewell to Kate. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I cannot make it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried his trembling companion, falling back in his seat and covering his eyes. Do you see her now? Is she there still? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Nicholas earnestly. There. She waves her hand again. I have answered it for you, and now they are out of sight. Do not give way so bitterly, dear friend, don't. You will meet them all again. Apostrophe, he whom he thus encouraged, raised his withered hands, and clasped them fervently together. In heaven. I humbly pray to God in heaven. Apostrophe, it sounded like the prayer of a broken heart. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.